My guest at this time is Adam Levin. He is the founder and chairman of CyberScout. He has joined us in the past to discuss cybersecurity, including the hacking of some 20 million accounts at the Office of Personnel Management. He joins us today, however, to explain what is at work in the recent ransomware attacks and what we should do if impacted by them. And Adam, it's always good to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for inviting me, Greg.
Let's start with the very basics. What is ransomware, and how does a ransomware attack work?
Ransomware is basically malware, and it gets on your computer, and what it does is it encrypts the files, and then you have to pay a ransom in order to get those files decrypted. In most cases, if you pay, the files really will be decrypted. I know there's been some controversy over that of late. Now, ransomware can get on your computer in a variety of ways. One, which we're seeing occurring right now worldwide, has to do with a vulnerability in a Microsoft program. Generally, it involves expired but not supported Microsoft systems, as well as pirated Microsoft software. And that's because Microsoft, after a period of time, goes to a new version. If you're not on the new version, after a while, they just stop supporting the new version. The bulk of this is really going on in Asia and in Europe, and that's where the over 300,000 computers in 150 countries have been impacted by it. Another way to get ransomware is if you click on a link or you download an attachment that put malware on your computer. All of a sudden, there'll be a skull on your screen with a ticking clock cocking back from, let's say, 90 hours. And if you don't pay a certain amount in Bitcoin, either your files will be deleted or they will be encrypted forever.
When it comes to paying the ransom, doesn't that give investigators a trail back to whoever's responsible for this? Or does the Bitcoin aspect make it harder to track them?
Oh, no, the Bitcoin makes it much harder to track them. And in most cases, the people responsible for these things are operating beyond the jurisdiction of the United States or in countries where they actually have the protection of the government. So it's a very difficult situation. And, you know, ransomware is the new black. And because instead of having to break into a system, get your hands on the data, exfiltrate the data, put it on the black market, hope you can sell it for a certain amount of money, depending upon what it is, with ransomware, it's almost instant return. You basically lock up a computer, terrify the computer user, and basically say, okay, it's no longer about what your information is worth to someone else. It's about how much is your information worth to you. And unless you have a backup system in place, you're in a lot of trouble.
From the reports I've seen, Adam, it seems like this is mostly afflicting PC users. Is that pretty much right?
Generally, that's the case. And it's Apple does not seem to be having the issue because, as you know, most Apple systems have nothing to do with Microsoft. Most people, you know, stick with Apple. This is a specific flaw as to the Microsoft programs.
We mentioned it's harder to track as a result of the Bitcoin demands and so forth. But how do you go about tracking down who's responsible for this, whether it's this case or another case?
Well, in a variety of ways. You know, it's almost like old-fashioned sleuthing. You have to think of it almost as a crime scene, except in this case, instead of looking at blood spatterings, you're really looking at signatures on the code. Sometimes in certain ways the code is written. It could be written in certain languages that give you a tip-off as to who it might be. But, you know, there are hackers out there that come together as sort of loosely organized consortiums, and they work for pretty much anybody for hire. Generally, they tend to work for specific state-sponsored actors. But in general, they're kind of freelancers, and they're out there and available for those people who know how to get them and hire them.
You mentioned a moment ago that it looks like Europe and Asia were hardest hit. Does that tell you anything?
Well, you know, at first blush, it didn't, but now it's saying more since they're tying this to the North Koreans at the moment.
Right.
The other issue as to why Europe and Asia were more impacted by this is because there are more pirated versions of Microsoft over there, as well as expired operating systems that are Microsoft. In the U.S., we tend to be more updated. We also tend to be more oriented toward actually doing updates. So when you get a notice on your computer to do an update, once you've confirmed that it's a legitimate notice, and not something that, you know, is again another attempt to get you to click on a link. If you update, you're going to be fine. So I always say to people, look, don't think of these things as mosquitoes to be flicked away. There is a reason why these updates are sent to you, and oftentimes it's because a vulnerability has been discovered, that vulnerability has been patched, and they're trying to get you to make sure that what you have on your system is as up-to-date as possible so you can be best protected. And in this particular ransomware attack, if you had the Microsoft patch, which, by the way, was issued earlier this year, if you had it, you were fine. If you didn't have it, you could well have been in a lot of trouble.
We're talking with Adam Levin, founder and chairman of CyberScout. So, Adam, let's talk about prevention and response now. First of all, prevention. How do you prevent something like this from impacting you? You just mentioned do your updates. You also mentioned make sure you know what links you're clicking on and be careful about that. So what other proactive steps can you take?
Well, in particular, when it comes to ransomware, the most proactive step you can take is to make sure that the data on your network or the data on your device is backed up. But you can't just back it up on your device or on your network. You literally have to back it up to an independent system that is not connected 24/7 to your network or your computer or your mobile device. It has to be independent. It has to be connected only at intermittent times. Because the problem is, if it's connected when the ransomware hits, the malware crawls through the network right into the backup system. So that's why it's very important. Cloud backup or independent backup is the best way to go.
And so what do you do if you do get that skull on your screen?
Well, you know, you don't have a lot of options. If you're not backed up and you don't have a really good technology person who has already figured out a way to deal with ransomware, and there's a lot of strains of ransomware that are really impossible to deal with. There are a couple. Kaspersky has some programs available. You can go to a website, and there are some workarounds. But in general, if you get hit with a ransomware, the bottom line is either you pay or those files could be encrypted forever or deleted. And even though the FBI says don't pay, there's an awful lot of institutions and individuals that do pay, because their information is worth a great deal to them. The ransom is actually almost reasonably priced relative to what you would pay to have to deal with it with technology people. And in most cases, when you pay, you really do get the decryption key and you really can get the files back. The one thing you don't necessarily know is if someone has copied those files, or they've, shall we say, retained something for themselves that they're now going to go out and sell at a later date. But you know what? It's a crapshoot. You have to take it. And sometimes the best option, the safest option, is to pay up.
Last question. It seems from what we're reading so far is that most people haven't paid. The take on this so far as most experts can tell, has been relatively minimal. Does that surprise you?
Nothing surprises me. But the fact is, you know, half the time you never know if somebody really paid or not because they don't want to admit it. I mean, how many instances of identity theft do we have that are never reported because they may occur within the friends or family unit? And as a result, people don't want to rat out members of the family. Or I know that there are many senior citizens that won't admit that they're a victim of identity theft because they're embarrassed. They shouldn't be, but they are. So if people pay or don't pay, I'm not sure they're that forthcoming with it, but I think this is a way bigger issue, what's going on right now, and that is that government, unfortunately, hasn't done a good enough job protecting its citizens. And not only that, think about it in terms of the U.S., and so far we seem to be okay with this attack, but, you know, there was a very interesting observation that I heard recently that was that if the NSA had notified Microsoft when they found the vulnerability, as opposed to theoretically notifying Microsoft when they learned that hackers were going to release information about tools and vulnerabilities, that we might be better off than we are today. So the final thought is, when you hear things like the Apple versus FBI debate, and you hear people in government saying, we need a backdoor to encrypted systems, this is a perfect example that when government gets their hands on a backdoor, it is highly unlikely that they will be able to properly protect it, and we're all in trouble.
Adam, sobering note to end on, but we appreciate it nonetheless. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. Adam Levin, founder and chairman of CyberScout. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.